Welcome to the Game Day Cube NFL show. I am your host, Isaac E., and let's get into it. So before we do the week two recap, we're going to get into the breaking news that happened today. Antonio Brown is out of New England. He has been released by the New England Patriots. The final straw for the Patriots, well, wasn't many straws, but there is now apparently a second accusation against Antonio Brown for misconduct in regarding or involving a woman. I am a little gray on this issue and whether it is another sexual assault accusation. What is known is that Antonio Brown this week has been texting this second woman, and basically her lawyers have come out and said that he is attempting to intimidate her into not talking. And it wouldn't be surprising, because I'm sure what he doesn't need is another accusation to go along with this new accusation with Brittany Taylor, who accused him of sexual assault on multiple occasions, and then met with the league on Monday for several hours, according to reports. So the Patriots basically said, and from reports, that if Robert Kraft had known these allegations were coming down, the Patriots would not have signed Antonio Brown, because Robert Kraft wouldn't have had it. So he was already on thin ice. And then this latest incident, and the fact that he was texting this woman, was a little bit too much for Robert Kraft, who has, as you know, has had his struggles with the league over the years, and you know what happened with the Aaron Hernandez situation. So he really has a low tolerance for players behaving badly on his roster. And the Patriots moved very quickly and removing Antonio Brown from the equation, because the facts are they're still the best team in football and they don't need Antonio Brown to win a Super Bowl. But not to mention the moral facts of it is that until this all is resolved, until we know the real truth, Antonio Brown shouldn't be playing football. And I don't commend the Patriots for what they did, because the facts are they shouldn't have signed him in the first place. He shouldn't have been rewarded for his behavior over the last 2 years, especially what he did with the Raiders, where he definitely played that to get cut so he could move on to a winning team, and particularly the team that I think he had his sights on all along after he left Pittsburgh, the New England Patriots. Antonio Brown really needs to go look in the mirror and do a lot of soul searching over the next few weeks. But in regards to his NFL career, it may be over. Because right now, bringing him in is very, very, very dangerous for any franchise. It's a public relations nightmare. Not to mention, what are you going to get from this guy? He's too much of a headache. So for some of the teams that were interested, like Seattle, before he signed with the Patriots, I don't look for any team to make a move towards Antonio Brown until these accusations are proven false. And even then, the merry-go-round that he's put everyone on is just a little bit too much for squeamish owners that even to this day don't look Colin Kaepernick's way. And what Antonio Brown's been doing or might have done is way worse In fact, Colin Kaepernick didn't really do anything wrong. It was a moral situation where you agree with him or not. This, we're talking rape. That is way beyond kneeling for a national anthem. So that happened. Patriots will move on. They'll be fine. They're still going to win a ton of games. They're going to annihilate the Jets this weekend, most likely. At least they get this headache out of there. They get this albatross off their necks and distraction, and then they can move on to playing football. Okay, now that we've gotten through that, let's get into week three, or let's recap what we saw in week two in the NFL. All right, let's go through the games, 1 through 16. Thursday night, Bucks beat the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton doesn't look right, and it's already been came out that he's going to miss week three with a foot injury, but he just isn't moving well, and his health is definitely a major concern as the season goes along. Panthers are now 0-2, and season is on the brink as they travel to Arizona this week. Tampa, good bounce back win over Carolina after their performance against San Francisco. Who knows, maybe that turns out to be the fact that San Francisco was really good if San Francisco keeps this going as they are 2-0. But as of right now, I guess that San Francisco game, don't really know enough information about it. But good win for Tampa. Good to get on the board. And Jameis played better in this game. Not great, but better. Ravens, as we move into Sunday's games, beat Arizona. I thought Kyler Murray played well in his first road game. Cardinals was a live dog. They covered the number. I wouldn't run out still and pick up Kyler Murray in fantasy, but Larry Fitzgerald in deeper leagues is a good pickup. I actually, a lot of my fantasy leagues was searching out Hollywood Brown. He didn't get a lot of targets in week one, but in this game, he had 8 targets. So, and Hollywood Brown, definitely, if he's still available, which is unlikely now, because most leagues he's probably taken now. But if he's out there in free agency, and look at your receiving core, if he's going to continue to get more targets in games, he's so explosive, his big play ability, he's a good guy to have on your fantasy roster. On the football side of it, good win for Baltimore. Big game this week as they travel to Arrowhead to take on the Chiefs. As you remember, last year it was another good game as Baltimore lost by 1 score. So, yeah. They hope to get this win this year. Last year, with Lamar Jackson under the helm, they played very well on the road. So I expect them to play well this week at Kansas City. I'm not expecting them to. I don't know if they're going to cover or not. I think it's a game that I could see Kansas City winning by 10. I could see them winning by 3, or I could see Baltimore pulling off an upset. I think it's a very intriguing game. Definitely the best game of the day, Baltimore and Kansas City. Chargers somehow chargered it. They did it again. They lost to an opponent they shouldn't have lost to. I don't know if it's a mental block with this team. Is it too much sun in Southern California? What? They had 2 touchdowns called back on a drive. And then that same drive, Eckler ends up fumbling. So, very interesting thing in this game. The lone touchdown the Chargers scored, Eckler did the flyover Marcus Allen over the top of the line to score on the 1-yard line. But as he's flying over, he's reached the ball out to break the plane. NFL players are smart. They see these things. After the Chargers get 2 touchdowns called back, they finally drive down to the 1-yard line on the same drive. A chance to pretty much salt the game away. Eckler tries it again, reaches the ball over. What do you think happens? Fumble. Detroit pops the ball out for as soon as she shows the ball. That's the danger of doing that. Detroit recovers. They end up scoring a touchdown to take the lead. Chargers aren't able to march back down the field again. Lions win 13-10. Lions stay undefeated. Chargers try to figure out how they continue to lose games they should win. It gets them every time. It costs them divisions. It costs them home field advantage. It's mind-blowing. Again, like I said, don't sleep on the Colts. Good win by Jacoby Brissett. Good win by the Colts on the road against the Titans. Big win to avoid 0-2. Now they're 1-1. They played their two road games. Now they come home against an Atlanta team that they're definitely on par with talent-wise and capable of beating at home. So the Colts will take on Atlanta in an interesting game in that 1 o'clock window next week, or this upcoming week, I should say. Niners rout the Bengals. I'm still not sold on the Niners, but I do have the tight end in a lot, at least one of my fantasy teams, Kittle. I like George Kittle. Actually, I wanted to pick him. I don't think I have him on any of my fantasy teams. He was the first tight end on all the list, and I don't like picking tight ends 7th or 8th, and he's probably not going to be available now, but as far as fantasy, Goodwin's probably still out there, and if Garoppolo's going, he likes to throw the ball to Goodwin, and Goodwin's going to do work in fantasy, so definitely a guy to maybe think about picking up if he's available in the free agent list. Bengals got routed. Defense played bad, but still did some things on offense with Dalton, Ross, Boyd. They're going to score points. You're not going to zero out Cincinnati because they do have a lot of players on offense, and Zach Taylor is doing a decent job calling plays so far. That's why they are live. They are live dog this weekend against Buffalo. Buffalo tends to play their games close and low and try to manage a game with Josh Allen. Cincinnati's going to score points. They have beaten Buffalo over and over again in Buffalo over the last decade. I don't remember the last time Buffalo beat Cincinnati in Buffalo. So Cincinnati is definitely very, very dangerous this Sunday in Buffalo. And in fact, the Buffalo 6-point favorite is kind of a mistake, I believe, from Vegas. Texans hold off the Jags and Gardner Minshew. Marone seemed to be trying so desperately to erase his image as a conservative coach, but he should have kicked the extra point. You come from behind, you're on the road in a game you have to have in the division, and you have a rookie quarterback. There's no reason for him to have gone to two. Take your chances in overtime. He decides to go for two. I guess you can second guess him now. If he would have got it, everyone would have loved Marone. Who knows, maybe I would have loved him. But it didn't work, so we can second guess him. They lose. They came back here and won Thursday night, so now they're 1-2. And if they're 500 by mid-November, Bowles will be back. They got a shot at this. I don't think anybody's going to run away with this in the AFC South. I think 10 wins will get it done. I think the Colts, Titans, Jaguars, and Texans, there's not a lot separating those four teams. Texans, important win. To get on the win column, obviously, 1-1. Now they go into this upcoming week where they will take on the Bolts in L.A. A very, very interesting and intriguing game because one of those teams will end up 1-2 at the end of this week. At least. Well, maybe it'll be 1-1-1 if there's a tie. Packers have a good second quarter, and that was it. But that's all they needed against the Vikings. They went 21-16. Cousins got them within five, but couldn't get them no closer, because that seems to be what happens with Kirk Cousins in big games. He'll get you close, but he never gets you over the hump. Packers defense, again, playing well. Offense, they have moments, but it's not all the way there yet. Again, I think Aaron Rodgers could have been helped by doing some preseason games with this new offense. So I feel like these first couple games is his preseason. I expect them to play better as the season goes along. But they're 2-0 with him not really having full grasp of the offense yet. So that's a good thing. Cowboys beat the Redskins. Just a good victory. Good NFL victory on the road, 31-21. Prescott, he's been good. He wants that new contract for sure. Price keeps going up every day. So, again, not a tough schedule to begin the season for the Cowboys here. Dolphins this week should be 3-0. But you play who's on the schedule, you beat the teams you're supposed to beat, and that's what they're doing. But the Cowboys look like a team that is built to go deep into January. Redskins aren't a bad team. They're going to win it. They're going to catch somebody. Maybe they're going to catch the Bears this weekend, but they're going to catch somebody. Still think the Redskins are a 6-win team. They're not good enough to beat the Cowboys or Eagles. They just don't have enough talent to get to beat those teams unless those teams play badly. But it's not a team that you can just guarantee a victory against. You still got to come out and play the game. And the Cowboys did come out and play the game. They played a good game and were able to win it. Steelers lose Big Ben. Huge loss. On a fantasy standpoint, is it worth going out and picking up Rudolph? I'd like to see some more tape. I'd like to see him on the road against San Francisco. In a deeper leagues, if you have three quarterbacks and you lose Roethlisberger, do you pick up somebody else or Rudolph? It's kind of just based on your risk factor. How willing are you to extend yourself? Because Rudolph could end up being really good and it'll be a great pickup. But if there is a chance to, I mean, if it's him or Joe Flacco, I say pick up Rudolph. Because Flacco's not going to get you a lot in fantasy. It's if it's him or the Daniel Jones for the Giants, I said I'm picking Rudolph. At least Rudolph's got some experience. And he didn't play badly in the Seattle game. They almost won that game. With him at under center. Seahawks, big win on the road. Quality victory. 2-0 now. And they're going to need it because their division, San Francisco, is going to, looks like they're going to load up some wins against some bad opponents here and be a team that is going to be floating around 500, maybe above or under it. And you know the Rams are, as long as they're healthy, are a 10-win team. So Seattle has to keep pace, and they're doing that by winning a game here that could have went either way. So big win for Seattle. Buffalo beat the Giants. Giants couldn't really get much done at all in this game. Buffalo has a really good defense. They aren't putting a lot on Allen, because they're using the running game and the defense and not trying to overextend him. I think he's going to have to make some plays in this next game in Cincinnati, because Cincinnati, I believe, will score some points against that Bills defense and force Allen to score at least 20, maybe 25, 30 to win this game. And we'll see. We'll learn a lot about him. The rookie running back Singletary that's given them some explosion in the backfield, he's out in this game. So that is a worry for Buffalo coming into the week 3 game. But as far as this game is concerned, hum-hum, wasn't very exciting, but Buffalo got it done. On a fantasy standpoint, Manning's out, Daniel Jones in. Do not pick up Daniel Jones. Do not pick up Daniel Jones. If it is a keeper league, and it's a deep keeper league, think about it. Because he could end up being good down the road. But don't kick him up if you are forced to have to start him more than once. Because he may let you down, considering how bad that offensive line is for New York. They can't block. And if they couldn't protect Eli, they're not going to be able to protect Daniel Jones, who is a drop-back quarterback who has some mobility, but we're not talking about Lamar Jackson here. Dolphins have to figure out whether they are attempting to go down as the all-time worst team in NFL history. Minka Fitzpatrick was traded to Pittsburgh after the game, so that's another talented player off their roster. The Patriots beat them 43-0, and I'm not even sure the Patriots broke a sweat in the South Florida sun. Dolphins are humiliatingly terrible. If you have any other players in fantasy, my apologies. If you have the Dolphins defense, I'd ask you why. They're only going to let you down, and they're probably going to get you negative points most of the season. As far as the Patriots are concerned, business as usual. And they did get Antonio Brown into the game. He got a touchdown. Obviously, that doesn't matter now because he's off the team. But they can go pretty much, they're very multifaceted with Burkhead and White out of backfield. And they still have Gordon and Dorsett. And they will get Watson, the tight end, back after week 4. So it's looking good in Foxborough. What they can afford is injuries. The defense looks very, very good as well. So as long as they stay healthy, no one's stopping this Patriot machine. Chiefs, big second quarter. That's all they needed. Mahomes is thrown for over 400 yards in back-to-back games to start the season. He is on fire, so to speak, as he seems destined here. He stays on this pace to be back-to-back NFL MVP. Raiders weren't terrible. They just couldn't deal with the Kansas City firepower. For what it's worth, they just aren't talented enough to beat the Chiefs or even compete with them. And that's going to be the name of the game for the Raiders most of the season because their schedule is unforgiving. And they're going to be caught in a lot of situations like this where they're just out-firepowered. With a young team, it's going to be tough for them to win 5 games. Maybe to get 6, or excuse me, maybe to get 4. But it's just going to be tough sledding for the Raiders because of that schedule. Now, the Chiefs are still without Tariq for the foreseeable future. But they have a lot of weapons. The rookie Hardman was big this week. Sammy Watkins was big in week 1. The running back by committee is going okay so far. And the defense, we'll see. I mean, it's better opponents. They are still susceptible because they're going to have to play a lot of man-to-man because, you know, Spagnuolo is going to blitz. Saints lose Breeze. Tough blow. On a fantasy level, is it worth going out and picking up Bridgewater? I wouldn't be against it. I guess it just kind of depends on how you feel about Bridgewater. I mean, the national media felt like really really were down on Bridgewater. They really just, they basically just kind of like dumped on him all week. Like he was not good, and that they should go out and pick up Eli Manning. And I feel like it was a tough situation. Their offensive line was getting beat left and right by Aaron Donald and the Rams' defensive line. And if you can't block, you can't win. And it kind of led to Breeze getting hurt, is, you know, they're able to block up front there. Donald doesn't get his hand in Breeze's flowing motion. So the fact is that no quarterback was going to be successful in that game for the Saints. So, as far as that I'm concerned, I think Bridgewater will be just fine. And I expect him to play a much better game this weekend in Seattle, although this is a tough outing up in Seattle. Probably the toughest place to play in football. Rams didn't play there. I don't think they played that well themselves, but you saw that the importance of Cooper Kupp, because even when they don't have it on offense, when Goff has that safety blanket and Kupp, it makes things so much easier for the Rams, and it makes things so much easier for Goff. And Kupp, even when his offense isn't ticking on full cylinders, helps his offense get to that 20-25 point mark. And with their defense, when it's going well and Donald's going well, more times than not, it's winner's circle for the Rams. And I really think if Kupp played in that Super Bowl, the Rams might have won that game. He's that important to Goff, and he's that important to this offense. Broncos almost beat the Bears, and then lost to the Bears. Well, they almost lost to the Bears. Then they almost tied the Bears. Then they almost beat the Bears, and they lost to the Bears. Crazy game. I guess for all the Trubisky stuff, at least he was able to get them within field goal range to win it late, and Pinheiro came through, and that's a tough situation for Pinheiro, because frankly, you expect an NFL kicker to make that kick. The Bears act like they won a Super Bowl when he made that kick. What happens when he misses the field goal in a close game or in a tight situation this year? Because it's gonna happen. Is everybody gonna just turn on him? I mean, it feels like he's in a no-win situation. But he makes a kick. Broncos lose after going for two and getting it and looking like they had the game won by 1 point, even though they didn't deserve to win the game anyways. And the Bears came back and won it anyways. So, frankly, I don't think either team deserved to win the game. Probably should have ended in a tie. But Bears win. Important win for the Bears, considering the way things look in their division right now. And the Broncos aren't really going to compete, in my opinion, for the playoffs this year. So, ho-hum. Sunday night, Atlanta almost found a way to lose. They seem to have some kind of situation where they can't beat the Eagles. Eagles were down to their fourth wide receiver, playing the number one wide receiver at one point when Aguilar went out. DeSean Jackson went out early in the game. So did I can't even think the other wide receiver. And they were down to Aguilar as their number one wide receiver, who's usually their third wide receiver. And the Eagles still almost won the game, because Wentz made some plays late. They actually had the lead 20-17. And then, well, we know what happened then. Julio Jones on a simple wide receiver screen that was blocked very well, showed how fast he is once he gets an open field, raced down the sidelines, and Atlanta took a 24-20 lead. Then the Alshon Jeffrey, excuse me, was the other Eagles wide receiver. Couldn't remember for a second there. Eagles get the ball back, but were unable to march down the field to get the winning touchdown. So the Falcons finally get over the hump and beat a team that seems to be their kryptonite in the Eagles and get a very, very important win. A very important win, I feel like, for Dan Quinn, who I still think is on the hot seat right now as Atlanta goes to 1-1, because you can only fire so many coordinators and assistant coaches before you're the one that gets fired. Cleveland wins on Monday night. Jets, well, it was ugly. They couldn't block. They couldn't run. They had negative passing yards after halftime. It was, well, it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all for the New York Football Jets. But the and the Browns didn't play well either. I didn't like their offensive line didn't play well. They struggled to get a running game going with Chubb, and we still see that gunslinger mentality in Mayfield. He had another interception, forcing the ball into coverage. You know, it wasn't fun to watch, actually. I mean, Odell had a big game. You know, he went to the house with one pass, basically a short 3-yard pass, and he did the rest. It's, I don't know where it happened to the Jets' defense. It was, seemed to be a breakdown in their defense that allowed that, and Greg Williams was living on the sidelines when he saw it happen, so somebody made a mistake. It looks like Trevor Siemian, is going to be out for the season with his ankle after the Myles Garrett hit. Myles Garrett was in the Jets backfield the entire game. That Jets offensive line is going to be a big problem. Even when Sam Darnold comes back from mono, you have to worry about Sam Darnold now, because that offensive line couldn't block Buffalo. They couldn't block Cleveland. They still got to pay the Patriots twice. They have to play Dallas. They have to play Philadelphia, Washington, all teams that have really good pass rushes. It doesn't bode well for the Jets this season. It's going to be a long year. And now they have to go with Luke Falk on the road in Foxborough here in week number 3. And I cannot expect anything great from Luke Falk in this game. I think it's going to be a tough, tough situation for Mr. Falk. As I've mentioned in other podcasts, Bill Belichick against young quarterbacks, the first time they've seen his defenses, eat them for lunch, breakfast, and dinner. Or breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or whatever order you want to call it. So in a fantasy standpoint, don't pick up Luke Falk. If you had the Patriots defense, this could be a good week. If you had the Cowboys defense, this could be a good week. All right, so that is what happened in the NFL in week number 2. We will take a short break, and then we'll get into lines for week number 3.
Do you have a website that you're looking to maximize traffic to, generate additional leads, and increase revenue? Well, let me tell you, Buffalo Marketing Company is a digital marketing agency that can help you. The agency develops digital marketing strategies that involve, but not limited to, search engine optimization, social media campaigns, website design, and branding. Go to buffalomarketing.company today to find out more. Now back to the show.
All right, lines for week number 3. This podcast was being done on Friday, so the Thursday game has already happened. The Titans were a 1.5 favorite on the road. I would have told you that that was a misstep, considering that Jacksonville was playing at home. And this game is usually a very close game, and I expected Jacksonville to get back at Tennessee for the drubbing that Tennessee put on them in week 14 last year in the same Thursday night window. And I was not surprised by how Jacksonville played, trying to get on the win column after starting at 0-2. And I was probably more surprised at how bad Mariota was. If he's on your fantasy team, is he worth cutting? I would say cut him because he can still get you rushing yards, but I wouldn't be starting him if I had other quarterbacks go to, unless I really had a favorable matchup that I liked with him. Look at the tape. He's missing people wide open. He had at least one, I think two touchdowns where he had the guy wide open. Two different receivers. He had a deep route. I can't remember who ran it. He throws it 5 yards over the guy's head. He has the tight end, Delanie Walker. He's supposedly his favorite target, wide open in the end zone. He throws it 5 yards to the left. They end up going for it on fourth down and not getting it. It's not good. It's just not good for Mariota right now. This is his fifth season, and he was just outplayed by a quarterback in his second start. Gross. Okay. Enough on picking on Mariota, but the truth is truth. Green Bay opened as a 6.5-point favorite. Atlanta has since moved to 7 at home against Denver. This is all about whether Green Bay can actually put together a 60 minutes of good offensive football. Still to be determined. We know they can put together 60 minutes of good defensive football. And we know the Broncos are struggling on offense right now. So this is a game where I'm not surprised that the line moved slightly in Green Bay's favor. I could see a lot of public money riding on the Packers. Actually, it's hedged right now, so it's minus 120 on Green Bay, but they haven't moved it to 7.5 because I think people will be scared away at 7.5. They still want to get action on the Packers, so they seem to have left the line at -7. Philadelphia opened as -7, and it's since moved to -5.5. I'm leery of Detroit here, mainly because the Eagles have those injuries. They are playing a Detroit team that is capable of keeping this game close. Interesting game. I do think the Eagles are the better team, but I don't know. So I can see why the public has been riding Detroit and ruined the line down. Kansas City opened -6. It's since moved to -5.5. That's the Lamar Jackson factor. Baltimore has played well so far. Kansas City has played well. This game's an Arrowhead. Baltimore has played very well on the road, so I don't think Arrowhead's going to affect them one way or the other, or even Lamar Jackson. So we'll see how this one lands. Buffalo opened at -4, and this is the fact that Buffalo's 2-0 and Cincinnati's 0-2. And that's why Buffalo has gone up 2 points to -6. It's a lot of points for Buffalo. A lot of points for a team that hasn't really played a quality opponent yet. I know they're playing at home. It's a home opener. But a lot of points. And Cincinnati, at least in recent years, has owned the series with Buffalo, especially in Buffalo. Cincinnati has beaten Buffalo consistently in this game at Buffalo. So, -6? I don't know. Colts -2 opened since moves to -1.5. This is a game where you either believe that Atlanta can, or Atlanta is still Atlanta, still that team that went to the Super Bowl is somewhere under those black helmets, or you don't, because the Colts are a team that is a quality opponent for Atlanta. This should be a quality game. But I definitely trust Indianapolis these days a lot more than I trust Atlanta. Minnesota opened -7, since moved to -9 because it's the Raiders and people are afraid to take the Raiders on the road with points. I can't really blame them. But I'm afraid of Kirk Cousins covering any line these days. So just be wary of that. Patriots are 21.5 point favorites in some books. Some books have it as 21 point favorites. Luke Falk, first career start. Meet Bill Belichick. This could be ugly and ugly early. Dallas opened at -16, since moved to -22.5. Josh Rosen is going to start for Miami. And you know what? I think Miami might be a live dog here. Yeah, see, this is perfect NFL. There's no way. There's nothing that can ever tell you why Miami would cover this number. You think the spread should be -30, but that's the NFL, ladies and gentlemen. Being on the road for the first game out of Miami, no one's going to give them a chance, and Miami has nothing to lose. And Dallas has been kind of workmanlike so far this year. Might take Miami for granted. It's human nature. They've been beat. It's been 102-10. It's human nature if Dallas kind of sleepwalks through the first half. And that's all it takes to cover this number. So, -22.5 is a lot of points to give up. But still, Miami still plays in the NFL. And I know all that talk's going to start coming out. Can Miami beat Alabama? Could they beat Clemson? It's the NFL. They would blow out Alabama and Clemson in a one-game scenario. Tampa opened at -4 since it went to -6. It's a lot of points for a Tampa Bay team that has a quarterback that is prone to turning the ball over. Giants haven't shown you much at all this season, but may rally around the rookie Daniel Jones. May play a decent game. I'm not expecting Tampa to blow the doors off of the Giants offensively. I mean, the Giants could be in this game. I'm not saying the Giants will cover, but it's tough to give up 6 points. It's tough to lay 6 points with Tampa these days. So even though Tampa should win this game, I don't know. Arizona is a -2 favorite after being a +3 dog. The line flipped once Cam Newton was ruled out of the game with a foot injury. I like Arizona in this game. Kyler Murray at home to get his first win. I'll make my picks on the Game Day Cube NFL show, but I do like Arizona against the number here. It's probably be one of my picks. I'm not for sure yet, but I do like that line. And a lot of people like that line. That's how the line swung so quickly. Seattle, New Orleans. Seattle opened as Pick'em, or it opened as Pick'em, and now Seattle's a 4.5-point favorite once Drew Brees has been ruled out. As we all know now, Drew Brees has had to have surgery on his hand, and he'll be out for at least 6 weeks, so in comes Teddy Bridgewater. It's still the Saints, still a quality team, still got a lot of weapons. I think Bridgewater was put in a tough spot last week. I expect him to play better this week. 4.5. Seattle's a good team, but New Orleans is capable of covering that number on the road. Chargers open at -4. Now they're at -3 at home against Houston. One of these teams might end up 1-2 if it doesn't end in a tie. So it would not be a good start for one of these teams if they start their season 1-2. Houston, again, explosive on offense. Chargers are explosive on offense. Very interesting game. One of the watchable games this week. I would say Houston, LA is the game to watch in that 4 o'clock. New Orleans, Seattle is another good game to watch. Pittsburgh, San Francisco is intriguing. And then, of course, we got the Kansas City, Baltimore game in that 1 o'clock window. Pittsburgh, San Francisco. San Francisco open at Pick'em, or the Gant line open as Pick'em. Then we got the news that Roethlisberger will be out for the season. So the line went way up to the -6.5 to San Francisco. It's a lot of points for San Francisco. Yes, they're averaging more than 30 points a game, but it was Cincinnati and it was Tampa. And the Tampa game, two of their touchdowns came from Jameis Winston. So maybe we need to pump the brakes in the 49ers here. Public, way overreaction against Mason Rudolph. 6.5 is a ton of points to give up. Rams, -2.5 open, now moved to -3. On the road against Cleveland. Cleveland, Sunday Night Football. I don't remember. I don't know if they've ever had a Sunday Night Football game. So it should be lively, very loud. The fans will be behind them. But I'm seeing some worry signs from Cleveland. Mayfield, got to protect the ball. Their offensive line, got to protect Mayfield. Taking too many hits, too much pressure is getting into the backfield. He's staring down receivers sometimes, trying to force the ball in to ODB. Dangerous against a ball-hawking Rams defense. And if they struggled against blocking the New York Jets, how are they going to block Aaron Donald and those and Brockers and those guys on that Rams defensive line? A lot of hype on Cleveland. A lot of pressure that comes with it. Now, here comes the NFC champions. Sunday Night Football. Again, Rams -3 right now. Bears open at -5, since moved to -4 against the Redskins. Be leery of the Redskins in this game, considering how the Bears have been playing this year. And the Thursday night line is out, but Philadelphia hasn't played their game, and neither has Green Bay, and that line sits at -3 right now. Green Bay favorite at home. Good Thursday night matchup. I mean, Green Bay should have a winning record, and if Philadelphia can beat Detroit, they'll have a winning record, so not a bad Thursday night matchup. Reminds me of that matchup we got with last year with Minnesota and LA in that week 4 window for Thursday night, so good job, NFL. You schedule one good Thursday night football game this season. All right. So that's what's going on in week 3 with the Lions. We went over some of my thoughts on fantasy in regards to the new quarterbacks coming in, quarterbacks coming out, during conjecture over week 2 last week and week 3, so I don't really have anything else to say on the fantasy football front. I wish you luck in your games this week. And if you are going to gamble this week, I wish you luck as well. This was the Game Day Cube NFL Show. I was Isaac E, and I will be back next week. And I bid you adieu.